If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are thankful to see this good number this morning. Glad to have each and every one in attendance. And even those who may be pull up outside to listen. I know that I mentioned this morning, it seemed like the virus is kind of running rampant at this time. But we are glad that we're able to still meet. And thankful that the Lord is still on the throne. And so for us that we're saved, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope, because we certainly have a great hope, not just in the next life, but in this life as well. So glad we could be here. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Our Sunday school lesson, Brother Freddie pointed out perspective, and that's one of my favorite words. I like to use that word when the Lord gives me opportunity, because you know, when it comes down to life, you know, there's different perspectives. People see things from different points of view. And this morning, that's the way the message that I'm about to preach that the Lord placed on my heart. Anytime you talk about the Lord coming back, I believe people can hear it and say, oh my goodness, that was such a depressing and discouraging message about end times and, you know, all the trouble that's coming our way. And then you have those that are saved. When the Lord comes back, we go to heaven. When the Lord comes back, we win. When the Lord comes back, there's no more sorrow, no more trouble, no more pain, no more suffering on our part. And so it really is a matter of perspective. And your perspective can be pinned down to what have you done with Jesus. If you trusted Jesus, then you have hope. If you trusted Jesus, then what I'm going to preach is a positive message. If you're lost, I want you to see it's still a positive message, because you can trust Jesus today. Yeah. And you talk about positive. You talk about encouraging. If you're lost and scared and fearful and, you know, death and all sorrows of hell got hold of you, if you trust Jesus, you talk about a different perspective. You will see things like you've never seen before. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this morning, I want us to think about the harvest for just a minute. Jesus came into this world and he began the church age. We live in that dispensation, the church dispensation. And Jesus established his church while he walked upon this earth, established it around the shores of Galilee, and he called out men from the prepared work of John the Baptist. John was baptizing, and Jesus, he called out men that no doubt were saved under the preaching of John and baptized, but he called them out, and Jesus himself baptized, setting us an example that whenever we're saved, we're to be baptized. Of course, Jesus never needed to be saved. We know that. He is salvation. But he set us an example that we follow him and be yoked up with the church. He called out men. But as we look at that, you know, I believe we could say that's the first fruits of the harvest. You just had a little bit, just a, you know, first fruits is always a little bit, just a, you know, that first tomato that's turning red. It's that, you know, the first few squash that come out. The, you know, the first fruits, the more we love, they're so tender and young and just wonderful. But at the same time, there's not very much of that, just the first fruits. But it is the promise of what is to come. And so we see, as Jesus establishes His church, we see a few. And you say, well, there's multitudes, but compared to all the world, it's just a few that maybe got saved during that time. And whenever you have the ascension, Jesus going after resurrection, He goes up into heaven, you find the church gathered together, and there's 120, there are about 120 disciples that were gathered together. So that's not, you don't think a massive scale, that's just a very small group, the first fruits. But then the church is baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the church is commissioned to go to the world and preach the gospel. And the church was given some sign gifts and some very special gifts there at the very beginning that were in part. And as the gospel was preached and the truth was declared, thousands began to get saved. You see, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And then later we found where souls were added daily unto the church. God added souls daily unto the church. And it just seemed like the church began to grow in leaps and bounds, and the word just spread like wildfire through, as we've been studying the mission work, mainly of Paul. But you had men that went out and they told others about Christ, and people were getting saved in mass quantities. I believe you could say that was the harvest. That was the main harvest. Whenever you go out and it's just, it looked like every pea on the vine is purple. You know, oh, it's time to harvest now. It's time. You don't just get a half a bucket. You get six buckets. You get the main harvest. And so I believe we've seen that throughout the ages. We've seen where, you know, God's word is just spread like wildfire, and people have been saved throughout the ages. Now, it brings us to our day. And there's still harvest today. And we are to be zealous to go into the fields. But I do believe this with all my heart. We are in the gleaning stages of harvest. And in other words, we're not seeing bucketfuls anymore. We go out and get half a bucket. We go out and we get just a little bit. Just the gleaning ears. They're left behind. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are plenty of lost people in this world, probably more than there's ever been. But when the Lord comes back, I believe He'll come back after the last person on earth gets saved, that's going to get saved. And then you're going to have an entire world that is lost except for those that have already trusted Christ. So don't misunderstand me. There's still plenty of lost people, but they are few that's willing to respond to the gospel. People now respond more to Facebook than they respond to a preached message. They respond more to some little meme that they hear than they do a message led of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's because people are becoming blinded, more and more blinded, and more just their ears are dull of hearing, don't want to hear. People have lost their patience. People have lost their attention span. And so, not only that, the laborers are few. Again, as we've been studying in our mission work, mission studies, there are fewer and fewer people willing to go into the world. So thousands have dwindled to one here and there. You have one saved here and there. So, well, in other places they have larger numbers, but I believe on a grand scale worldwide we're seeing, you know, here and there, someone gets saved. So, like Ruth, we should still be diligent to go out into that gleaning field and reap the gleanings of harvest. And we should be happy with that. And it should tickle our heart every time a soul gets saved. And not only that, we should have expectations that, you know, we might run into a little pocket that got left over and we're able to glean for, you know, a mass quantity there. I'd love to see 10 people get saved this morning here at Clear Branch. But with all that being said, I want you to listen to this statement. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. He's talking about death there. We shall not all die as we think of death. But we shall all be changed somewhere between the ground and in the air. We are going to change from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruption, so that we can enter into that city, so we can enter into heaven. And so we could be the generation that is caught up together and changed in the air. That's quite a thought. You think, just sitting here, church service, listening to a message or preaching a message, or, you know, maybe distracted from the message, who knows. But for us to be here as God's people, and then the Lord decide to sound that trumpet, to hear that shout, and all of a sudden those that are dead in Christ rise, and us that are saved, that we just leave right now without ever laying in a casket, without ever having a funeral. Just leave now. He said, we which are alive and remain. Paul included himself in that number, didn't he? He thought in his day the Lord was going to come back. And if it was in his day 2,000 years ago, then how should I live in my day? We which are alive and remain. In fact, when you get to looking at the time we live in, it certainly don't seem like there's anything left that would hold up the Lord coming back. Oh, Clear Branch has been faithfully harvesting souls right here in this community and roundabout areas for, 103 years now. We've been working faithfully, doing the will of God, people being saved, going year after year after year to baptize people. We went from the creek to Brother Mike's pond, and year after year, it tickles our heart to be able to go. And man, there's nothing does me as good, I don't believe, as being able to gather at the water's edge and have a baptizing, knowing that another soul has been saved. And yet we've been doing this faithfully, and this church, the body of Christ here at Clear Branch, has been doing it faithfully for 103 years. We've been singing these old hymns. And I love them. That's not casting stones, you know, at those old hymns in any way. I love them. We've been singing these old hymns about flying away, and the roll is going to be called up yonder. And whenever you get thinking about it, it ought to cause your heart to be overjoyed. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I will be there. Whenever we fly away, I'm going. And I wonder every day, what's that going to be like? You know, because in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. So it's not going to be this casually little begin to ascend up, you know, easily, no doubt. But in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. And so he said, well, Jesus went up, he ascended before their eyes. And we're going to do it like he did, but it's all going to happen quickly. We may be about to live out these songs that we sing. We shall not all sleep. I want to get that through your head this morning. We shall not all sleep. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. That's what he said. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. There's victory in Jesus. I've trusted him. Thanks be to God that gave me victory. Sin, it has no sting. The grave, there is no victory there for death over me. There's no victory. It's lost its sting. So he says this. He said, be steadfast a little longer. Whenever you get to thinking about the world, and you get caught up in all the cares of the world and all the different opinions. Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, keep our opinions to ourselves and speak the truth, speak the word. All the opinions, you get to listen to all the opinions, and man, I tell you what, you just about be unfit to even get out of the house. But here's what the Lord said. He said, you be steadfast a little longer. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Lord's coming back. Be steadfast. Lord's coming back, brothers and sisters. Be unmovable. The Lord's coming back, brothers and sisters. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Now that's truth. You listen to all the other garbage if you want to, but that's the truth. And so this labor that we are laboring is not in vain. We're not just spinning our tires. We're not just being stubborn. We are doing what God said do. And we've been doing it again 103 years. This church has. I know other churches have been established longer. But this church has been here for 103 years. Mars Hill, I think they've been there 126 years. Faithfully doing the same thing you're doing. And so, swing wide the gates. I'm coming home. Can you imagine the excitement? Clear Branch Baptist Church, all of a sudden we have met the Lord in the air and we're there in heaven. Miss Lana, I'll wave at you up there. Brother Ross, hey, Brother Ross, you made it up here too, didn't you? I figured you would. I believed you would. All these testimonies, you trusted the Lord. To be able to wave it, hey, how y'all doing? It just like he said, the truth, just like the Lord said, we didn't believe some lie. We didn't believe some foolishness. The world may think we're crazy, but we're not. This is the truth. And so we're going to get this wave at each other maybe. I don't know how it's going to be, but I can imagine. He said, set your affections on heavenly things. You know, let's go look at my place that was prepared for me. Let's go look at it. Well, when we get through, I'll show you mine. Let's go skip some rocks on the Crystal River. Let's go slide down the street of gold in our socks. Let's go enjoy this place forever and ever. And whatever it is that the Lord has prepared for us in His presence, let's enjoy it. Let us go praise and adore our wonderful King. We've been doing it here. Let's go do it in person. No more dying, no more worry, no more fears, no more gossip, no more sorrow. Keep up the good work, weary soldier. For we shall not all sleep. Keep fighting a good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He at one time says, we which are alive and remain. I believe that when he was looking at death, maybe the history says they took his head off. Maybe when he realized, you know, here I am. It's about to happen. And so he says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And there is a crown waiting for me. Keep fighting a good fight. There's a crown waiting. Paul said, not just for me only, but all of those that are looking for his appearing. I'm looking for it. I'm waiting on it. Again, it's so easy to get caught up in carnal minded things and, oh, I want this and I want that and I want other things here on this earth. This earth is a trash can compared to where we're going. It is. I mean, just if you're a math person, simple math. God created this place in 6 days. He's been preparing us a place over 2,000 years. Think about that. Oh, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to be bored to death. We're going to all sit around and sing Amazing Grace for a million billion years. You need to grow. And you need to study who your God is. And get to know Him a little bit better. God didn't prepare us a place so we could all be bored to death. He prepared us a place that's going to wow us for eternity. And He's God. So if He thinks we're about to get bored, I guess He can continue to make other things and do other things. He's unlimited. So keep up the good work. That's what he's saying. We looking forward to a better place. So while we're here, we might as well just go ahead and knock it out of the park. Let's go ahead and do a good work. Let's go ahead and enjoy this life God's given us, and let's go ahead and make sure everybody that we come in contact with, they get to go with us, because it's just that important. Keep fighting the good fight. If just one more soul, we may be in the gleaning stages, but I tell you what, somebody out in the field gleaning, and they, you know, hungry for the harvest, whenever they come across one ear of corn, they don't pass it by. They go ahead and snatch it up, and they're thankful that they get that. That's us. Let's be thankful for one more soul. And let's be willing to go the extra mile to see that one more soul get saved. Look, this world is getting more and more chaotic. It is. Nobody can deny that. It's supposed to. This world left God long ago. Matter of fact, the world never had God, had they? But it seemed like as a whole, our country and the world itself has turned their back on God, turning away from Him, want everything but God, allow anything free speech except something about Christ or something that a Christian believed to be the truth. That'll get monitored and it'll get crossed out. But then you can let somebody come on there and use profanity and curse God and anything else they want to talk about, and that seemed to be the truth nowadays. World's getting more and more chaotic, more and more perilous, dangerous. Think about that. The Lord said, in the last days, perilous times have come. I never thought I'd see a day, Brother Ryan, where they'd start outlawing the law. I never thought I'd see that. Brother Joey, I know you didn't. To a place where the law is bad and criminals is good. Perilous times. The world's getting more and more deceptive. I tell you what, the truth is just blended in with so much opinions, so many ideas, so much false news, so much just other news. You say, well, it's not, all news is not false. It's not. But all things are not expedient either. We need to look at what brings us to the goal. That's what expedient means. What brings us to the goal in life? Solving the government's problems, that's not going to bring us to the goal. Even if I know everything that's going on behind closed doors, I still can't do much about it. I tell you what, God can. He's still on the throne. He still can handle it. And so let's just trust Him and let's do a good work while we're here. Imagine what it will be like if you're here and you're lost when the saved exit this world. Imagine what it's going to be. I mean, chaos unrestricted. When the trumpet has sounded, Bible says, we shall not all sleep before this event. I'm going to tell you what, that could be you who are lost as well. See, whenever I see that, we shall not all sleep, I think, I might be part of that number. I'm going up. But if he come back right now, we all would, including if you're here lost. You'd still be part of it. You're not going to sleep before he comes either. Possibly. You may not see death before Jesus catches up His saints. And if that's the case, you would be left behind without a true church, without the Holy Spirit that is at least restrained, pulled back to let the devil have free access for a little season on this world. You would be left behind with hell to follow. The Holy Spirit removed to allow Satan free reign over his kingdom. He is the God of this world. The Lord's going to give him access to his kingdom for just a little while. Satan unrestricted to do as he pleases. If that trumpet sounded right now, you have missed the exit. I tell you what, that's one reason why I say, Lord, delay your coming. One more soul. Let us see one more soul get saved. I want to plead with you if you're lost. Turn to Jesus in repentance. Trust Him as your Savior. Oh. Do that while you have time and opportunity. Oh, Brother Brad, this is another one of them messages, and I tell you what, I've been lost a long time. I'll be lost a lot longer. But why continue to push it down the road? Why tempt God? Why tempt God? His Spirit will not always strive with man. Why tempt Him? Lord may not come back in my lifetime. I understand that. You do too. On the other side, it is just as real that He could come back right now. Right now. Trust Him while you have time and opportunity, while you have the truth and the Holy Spirit convicting your heart. Trust Him. I don't know how it's all going to be, and I've heard people try to preach about end times, and they talk about people getting saved in end times and all that. If the church is gone, and the Holy Spirit is at least restrained to let the devil do his thing, tell you what, if the Holy Spirit had not been dealing with my heart, I couldn't have got saved. And it very well may be that a few people over in Israel, Jewish people, that's what tribulation is all about anyway, is Daniel's people. It's about the Jewish race of people. The Lord still has some things to do there to fulfill a promise to them. And so, I don't know what kind of opportunity you'll have, but I would just look at it like this. It may be you don't have an opportunity. Maybe the Holy Spirit never deals with your heart again. I do know this. You have opportunity right now to be saved. And I want to plead with you to trust Jesus while you have that opportunity. While you have the truth, while the Holy Spirit's convicted you, be one of those gleaned ears, one of those gleaned souls. Come back from the pit of hell, lest you perish. Well, Jude says, you know, go and pluck some from the fire. It may be just that real. It may be you just about to fall into the pit. Right now, let's pluck you back. Not us, let Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come to Christ. Jesus is Savior. He will save you if you will believe. What I'm preaching is not a scare tactic. It is the unwatered down truth. God's Word is forever truth. It is the truth that sets men free. If you're lost, you're in the bonds of sin. He can set you free right now. But you need to trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus as your Savior so that you won't have to, ultimately, you won't have to lift your eyes in hell. But I tell you what, tribulation is not going to be a picnic either. Tribulation is going to be suffering on this earth like this world has never seen. Never seen. Oh, Brother Brad, what about the days of Hitler? It's nothing compared to what's going to, this earth is going to see. What about the time of war and, you know, World War One and Two? Nothing compared to what this world is going to see in those 7 years of tribulation. Really, 3.5 years probably of tribulation. But after that, it's a lake of fire. Let that be you today. You're one of the ones willing to trust Jesus. Surrender and only trust Him now. Last verse song. I said I don't know about the end times and whether or not somebody will have opportunity. I say that because I can't pin it down. But my personal belief is this. If you sat under the gospel and you've heard the truth all your life, I believe the Lord's going to take that opportunity away after He takes the saints home. After we see Him come back and receive His own, I believe He's then going to turn back to the Jews for a space of time to deal with them. So you, right now, trust Jesus while you have opportunity. Thanks for something. 233.